The Best of Our Knowledge explores topics on learning, education, and research. Coming up, the cause of long COVID, where patients experience symptoms months after their initial illness, is a mystery. Now, a new study might bring scientists a step closer toward understanding the disease.
It seems to me that there is something like a footprint left by COVID.
I'm Lucas Willard, host of The Best of Our Knowledge. You're listening to The Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Lucas Willard. The cause of long COVID, where patients experience symptoms months after their initial illness, is a mystery. Now, a new study might bring scientists a step closer toward understanding the disease. A pulmonologist from Albany Medical Center finds in a new study that long COVID appears to be a single disease and not an aggregation of multiple conditions. Study author Dr. Ariel Jaitovich says additional wider studies are needed, but the findings could lead to better diagnoses of long COVID, gauging its severity, and aiding in treatment. The study was published in the peer-reviewed eBiomedicine Journal. I spoke with Dr. Jaitovich about his research.
One of the features of long COVID is that it is extraordinarily difficult to characterize by symptoms because the symptoms are very diverse. So patients come with a shortness of breath. Some other patients came with extreme fatigue and lack of energy. Some other people cannot find words to speak. They call it brain fog. Some other people come with issues related to smell and taste. Some people come with combinations of multiple symptoms. But that is one of the challenges, is that the symptoms are very diverse and very nonspecific. So most people who have acute infections, including acute COVID infection, take a little bit of time to become normal or baseline again. So even a patient who has community-acquired pneumonia and requires hospitalization is not going to be discharged from the hospital and become completely normal at the moment of discharge. There is a transition time in which the patient takes kind of baby steps into a full recovery. So we started to notice that those baby steps were very baby steps. So people were not really improving with the trajectory that was expected for a patient who had developed an acute infection. And eventually people were coming to the clinic saying, hey, I never regained my baseline. My life is miserable. I cannot come back to work. I cannot do basic activities of daily living, you know, laundry or groceries, you know, go to the grocery stores, etc., and I don't know what's going on. And one of the remarkable issues is that we were not able to find any abnormalities by using the regular tools or diagnostic instruments that we have as doctors. So a patient complaining of a shortness of breath would show a totally normal pulmonary function test, a totally normal chest X-ray, a totally normal CT scan. And that brings us to the next point, that is, because of those extremely diverse and nonspecific symptoms, and because of the lack of positive results in tests, many people indicated that they were not believed. They were considered somebody who is trying to, you know, say that they have problems for a secondary gain or fabricating their problems, etc. So that created a significant issue because patients were having very serious problems. We were not able or we were not equipped to provide answers. And at the same time, there was kind of floating an idea that entity didn't actually exist.
So in some cases, in your research and your observation, did you see any symptoms emerge with long COVID that differed from what the patient might have described when they initially got sick? Say they, you know, were sick for a week or two, maybe symptoms went away, or maybe something new emerged later on. Is that something that you saw often?
Right. So that is an interesting point you bring up. But yes, the answer is yes. The symptoms of acute COVID are not generally the symptoms of long COVID. Patients with acute COVID develop a flu-like condition with fevers and, you know, muscle and joint pains. It could be cough, shortness of breath, mainly something like a flu-like condition. That has nothing to do with long COVID. Long COVID is as if the patient has been drained out of energy. So there is no capacity for the patient to execute their activities, their normal activities, including thinking or breathing or moving, because they feel that they ran out of batteries.
Has it been, until now, perhaps unclear about what exactly caused long COVID? Were there ideas about there could be other diseases in the body or other infections? Could the immune system be weakened and the body's affected by other things? What has it essentially been unclear about what's caused long COVID?
Right. So for full disclosure, it is still unclear what causes long COVID. I don't think that I am in a position to say that I found a final answer whatsoever. But like you said, there are many ideas that have been postulated as of why long COVID occurs, including the remaining existence of a virus that was not fully eliminated by the body and remains in a very kind of undetectable range yet present. Also, there is an idea that the virus caused a certain insult to the body to which the body overreacted and built up kind of an overdrive, low-intensity immune dysregulation leading to those conditions, and many others. One of the limitations of the research conducted is that it has been mainly focused on symptoms specific. So, for example, there are some ideas of what could be causing shortness of breath or what could be causing muscle weakness, but not something that is a universal signature of long COVID. And that is a very significant limitation because in the medical conversation, there is this idea that is floating around that is, well, yes, acute COVID is one disease, and then that disease leads to complications or some kind of lingering issues that are very diverse and somewhat disconnected from each other. Similarly, for example, to the post-critical illness syndrome. So a patient goes to the ICU because he's very sick and survives the hospitalization. The patient can develop skin pressure sores. It can develop kidney failure. It can develop cognitive dysfunction. It can develop muscle weakness. And it is kind of considered that those entities are triggered by the initial ICU admission, but they are disconnected from each other. That was kind of the feeling that dominated the conversation in long COVID, that all those things were kind of an aggregation, an artificial aggregation of things that were disconnected from each other in the first place. We think differently. We kind of challenged that idea. We think that if you dig deep enough, you will be able to find a common foundation of long COVID, and that is the basis of our research.
So your research shows that long COVID appears to be a single disease.
Correct.
But what about the COVID virus allows it to linger in the body and cause such a wide variety of conditions?
It is possible, but if you try to detect the virus, the viral particles or surrogates of the viral presence in the body in patients with long COVID, most of the times you will fail to do so. So it is, I think it's going to be very difficult to substantiate the idea that the virus remains in the body as a consequence long COVID exists. It seems to me that there is something like a footprint left by COVID originally present in the body, and that footprint remains as a lingering abnormality that takes a long time to normalize.
So your study shows that different patients who've experienced long COVID essentially share this same footprint. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell me about what that footprint actually is?
Right.
And how you can sort of explain it to someone who's not a
right. No, absolutely, doctor. Absolutely. So let me tell you a very common example that we give.
Sure.
So the information of the body, all the information that leads to the body, human body as it is present in a certain letters that are written in the DNA. That is the way the information is held by a body. However, the DNA is not a linear kind of line or a linear change. It's something that is packed together in a very convoluted way. So if the information is in the DNA, but is really in the center of a tangle, it will not be really visible or accessible because it's packed, in a center of something that is very complex.
So you're looking for very small changes in DNA, which has a lot of information. So is it looking for a needle in a haystack kind of a thing?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. But the important thing is that imagine that you own the library of the world and you were able to say, I have all the information of all the books in the world. But in order to access a certain type of information, you need a ladder because you wouldn't be able to find the top shelf where some books are located. So the information is not what defines what the body can read and what kind of information the body can have is not only the number of books, but also the accessibility to a certain type of books. So we investigate chemical modifications to the DNA that are not specifically on the information that the DNA has, but on changes, chemical changes associated with the DNA that define how the DNA becomes accessible. That is a phenomenon that happens due to chemical changes to the DNA and is broadly known as an epigenetic change. So it's not a change in the genetic information, but it's a change associated with the genetic information that decides or influences the way the genetic information can be appreciated by the body.
Okay, so is that possible then to look for that footprint through a simple blood test? Can you find if certain individuals may be more at risk for developing long COVID, even maybe before those symptoms emerge, or maybe even before they become infected by the virus in the first place?
It's a very good question that you're asking, because we do not have information as of what was the status of the patient with long COVID before the patient developed COVID, because this is the nature of the research we conduct. We cannot access a healthy person and wait for that person to become sick. It's impossible. So you essentially enroll a patient who is complaining about the disease. So coming to your specific point, we don't know if those changes that we are seeing in long COVID individuals are de novo or new changes induced by the virus, or were pre-existing conditions that the patient had before the infection and represented the susceptibility for the patient to become infected and eventually to develop long COVID. And that cannot be done with human studies. It's not really possible because you don't have control of this pre-existent status of the patient.
But now that we've identified, or that you and your team have identified, this footprint, does that open a window towards finding a treatment potentially?
We don't know because what we found is an association between a symptom or a constellation of symptoms and a chemical signature in those epigenetic changes in the DNA. But two things that are associated are not necessarily cause-consequence related. So the fact that those changes occur in patients with low COVID doesn't mean that if you were able to be capable of reversing those changes, you would necessarily lead to an improvement of the symptoms. But it's a first step to at least define a biological underpinning. Because remember, like I said before, one of the challenges is that we find with those patients is that the symptoms they have do not correlate with any organic identifiable abnormality using the tools that the medical, the medical field has to investigate the lungs or the brains or the muscles. So at least I feel that by finding some biological underpinning, some objective entity in the circulating blood that can define a patient who has and discriminate that patient from a patient who doesn't have long COVID is a very important first step to investigate, for example, the trajectory of those symptoms. Do those changes improve in association with the improvement of the symptoms? That is the next big questions that we want. This change in the symptoms are also going to correlate with the changes in these DNA methylation abnormalities in the blood and things like that.
And that was going to be my next question is, where is your research going to take you next in unraveling this mystery of long COVID?
Right. So there are two major avenues of this research that we are pursuing. The main one is to find out, like I mentioned before, if the improvement of the patient's symptoms correlates or goes together with the improvement of those chemical changes to the DNA that we have just described. That, although will not decide if those are cause-consequence connections, it will solidify the relationship. And we will also investigate changes in the RNA, which are other molecules that are present in the circulating bloods, in circulating blood, and also proteins in the plasma of those patients. Those are big projects that we have. It is important to mention that this is a single center study, which means that all the patients came from Albany Med, and that could introduce some kind of bias or some kind of abnormality of that research that might render that study not necessarily replicable in other contexts. So one of the major things and the major challenges in the future is to try to corroborate those findings in an external cohort of patients who are geographically or ancestry unrelated to the patients we enrolled in this one.
Do different COVID variants also make that more challenging in addition to background, lifestyle, geography, you name it?
Yes, it is possible, but we don't know, and we are investigating that. We are doing an analysis of a secondary cohort from Albany Med as well, but that was predominantly infected by the Omicron variant to see if the DNA changes are similar or they are different from the ones originally found. Again, this is a very important, in my opinion, step, but it's a very first step. There are many more things to do. Remember, what makes a scientific discovery solid is corroboration. It's not the information provided by the research per se. Big and significant, and that information is the information to become